Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have Evan Carter coming up in 20 minutes. The Rangers player show at 3:20. Evan Carter's going to join us. He's been on fire this month. I think he's hitting like 280 with an OPS approaching 900. Looking forward to chatting with Evan here coming up in about 20 minutes. Time now for a mixed bag. Zach Wolchuk.
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. And I know exactly when the anniversary of the Rowdy Tellez interview was. Okay. Right after this.
You want a chocolate? Mama.
Did we?
Mama. Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
To figure it out. How do they get that?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
Son of a bee.
It's all good, man.
Well, you were talking about it. I was Googling when the hell, and I went through a rabbit hole. Like, there's a big breakdown.
I'm sure if Eric had said it, you would have heard it.
Well, that's true.
Just say that.
That's probably true.
I did see your sausage fingers working pretty quick over there.
Well, it was kind of funny because there are like breakdowns online over this entire interview.
Like yeah, oh got, yeah.
I mean, it is.
I need to look at some of
this. This thing went freaking viral, this G-Bag Nation.
The text loved it.
Deal.
You know, they said it was an awesome interview, and we went viral nationally, and it's a local radio bit, even outside of the confines of this studio.
It's good.
So,
you're welcome. I think overall, yeah, we made a bad thing a good thing.
I always wanted to go viral, and turns out I only go viral if I'm absolutely embarrassing myself, which I'm okay with.
I think it's
whatever
endearing.
It takes.
I think, you know, when we embarrass ourselves, that's kind of a good, people can relate to that because I think everybody embarrasses themselves.
I was kind of grateful that I wasn't part of it, that I was at camp.
Well, you were just downline, not
I was
talking.
Downland, but I was downline and I was listening.
I saw your face the whole time. You were like, oh, God.
I was making that, Thierry Henry face.
Yeah. Like, what did he just say? Oh, no. Please stop it.
Yeah, I think it was some of Dawson's finest work myself.
I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. It's my fastball.
Well, I don't know. Should we replay it on July 23rd?
Absolutely.
I think we should. Yeah. Around the bases, we'll just punt on the segment.
Let's act like we just talked to him again.
We'll act like it's live.
We'll do the whole segment again.
You know what we need to do?
I'm down.
I'll be rowdy.
Let's get Bobby involved. AI Rowdy Tellez.
Okay.
For the interview.
He could probably pull this off.
Oh, there's no question.
100% he could. I'm terrified at what Bobby's capable of. All right, 877-881-1053. Is anybody watch Netflix Quarterback Season 3?
No.
I watched the maybe the first episode and a half, something like that.
Good?
Yeah, it's solid.
Clips that I've seen of it, I have found very entertaining. I think Joe Flacco's actually been pretty darn funny in any clip I've seen. Baker seems like he's stolen the show.
Yes.
Cam Ward and his mom, I thought, have been funny. So I think it's probably a good watch, but I have not had the time to really sit down. I did send this clip to Lucius, though. This is Joe Flacco. Now, the whole Flacco season was crazy because he starts off as QB1 for Cleveland. Then they trade him in the division to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's quarterbacking for Cincinnati, backing up Joe Burrow against his former team, the Cleveland Browns, and they send Flacco in for a quarterback sneak.
Brad, our quarterback coach, he asked Joe, hey, do you want to do a quarterback sneak here? And I was like on the sideline thinking, man, if I was him, I'd say no way. And of course, Joe said no. I had it in the back of my mind. They're going to ask me to do it, aren't they?
So I'm just going up. I'm just walking up and saying, "Said hi."
Yep.
No turbo or anything.
Yep.
Just so.
Yep.
You just have to do it. It's what your role is right now, and don't mess it up. Get the snap and get the first down.
And Joe Flacco is checking into the game, and I would imagine this is to run a quarterback sneak.
He started the season with the Browns as their starting quarterback. Traded over to the Bengals when Burrow got hurt.
Slow, quick, ready.
Joseph, you're too
old for this,
man. On third down, less than a yard, quarterback sneak.
Oh, my God.
And Flacco gets the first down.
Imagine you don't want Joe Burrow to run your sneak, so you put in your 40-year-old quarterback to run the sneak.
Fans, give him a nice round of applause. He's thinking, man, I've never gotten so much praise for doing so little.
It's kind of corny. like, you know, I'm getting cheered for a quarterback sneak. I'm like, no. Like, I would hate me. If I was watching that, I would be like, look at this freaking guy. Like, he's getting cheered for a freaking quarterback sneak. What a loser. But whatever. It is what it is.
I thought it was amazing. And that line of, yeah, all right, we don't want Joe Burrow to quarterback sneak. Let's put in our four-year-old backup quarterback is so freaking true, but successful. Good for you, Joe. So if anyone's watched it, let me know if this is must-watch. I think the clips have been great. And like I said, Baker, I think, has had some of the best ones. The Steve Wilks one that's gone viral, which we had heard about during the season. He really wanted to stick it to Steve Wilks because he cut him in Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
And he confirms all that in the show. So fun bit. And then August 3rd, we have Hard Knocks starting with the defending world champion Seattle Seahawks.
Mm.
So Hard Knocks, which the in-season one I think is in doubt. I don't know if they're going to bring that one back, which I don't really care about. I did watch the NFC East one this past year because obviously the Cowboys were involved. But I don't know that I think it's a little oversaturated. There's just too much stuff going on in-season.
Yeah, in-season, it's tough to track.
I don't know if we really need it.
Do they try and hide things in those shows now? Or is it pretty open book?
I'm sure there's some stuff they're hiding.
No, I just wondered, when you watch the show, do you get the feeling they're hiding stuff?
No, you don't get that feeling, but I bet that there's stuff that
you just don't know what
they're
you don't
cutting
know.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they certainly did not hide it in the draft one with the Giants.
Giants went that was amazing.
They're never going to do that again.
Yeah.
Because the Giants were getting ripped to shreds from that one.
It's a terrible thing to be a part of, by the way. I've had it happen to me twice. Hard Knocks thing, it's a terrible thing.
What's the worst part about it?
The fact that everybody's phony and acting like they're, you know, because they're on TV.
Like, you can see the cameras are there.
Yeah, everybody's an actor. You know, we're all like, we're making dramatic statements and
trying to get this on.
It's like, oh, look at him. He's a smart guy. You know, that it's, you have meetings. We'd have meetings. And it was embarrassing.
Well, you know the team's going to watch it, and you don't want to be caught saying anything bad about anybody?
No. We would be dramatic about the players. And these guys sucked, you know? We're up there like, you know, and the personnel guys sucked, too.
Guys
we were not
sucked.
Good. But the thing about it is we'd sit in a meeting, and we'd talk about a player like he was Hall of Famer guy, uh-huh. you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, you know, we really need to think about this. This guy's got quite a, you know. I'm looking, this guy can't play dead.
Oh,
what are
yeah.
we doing here?
And yeah. were the producers asking you to make it like content worthy, like make a big deal out of this?
No, but our guys just naturally became thespians while this thing was on.
You know, so for reality TV, I think it hit a tipping point when they would create these artificial deadlines and it was just obviously manufactured drama. And it's so difficult to tell when you're watching these things, like, is this, you know, is this the producer saying, hey, can you play this up? Like, is clear and clearly obvious in a lot of other reality TV genres, but I didn't know how much that was happening on the NFL side.
Yeah, we couldn't even have a good meeting to talk about players because everybody thought that they were going to win an Academy Award for acting.
Dang.
You know? It was awful. It really was awful.
All right, so Lane Kiffin, we got SEC Media Days going on right now.
Uh-oh.
Kiffin, your new head coach there at LSU.
Yeah.
They got the return to Knoxville in late November. That obviously did not end well. Lane Kiffin is the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And Josh Heupel is riling up the Volunteer fan base to make sure they don't forget it. So when he appears in Neyland Stadium, they are ready to go. Here was Heupel at the podium.
Our fan base hasn't, certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So, you know, whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard, or you know, our sports stores making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls. Hopefully, Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
Damn, coach! Because in 2021, Lane Kiffin went back with Ole Miss and they won by 5 points. And what did the Tennessee fans do?
He caught a golf ball during the game.
Yeah, and they were pelting condiment containers, water balls, golf balls, all at him as he was walking around the field. So the student section, I think, is probably going to have it out for Lane yet again. Security actually has asked Lane Kiffin to wear a bulletproof vest in his previous stops in Knoxville. for the Tennessee game. So it's been suggested again for this next upcoming season as he goes back to his old stomping grounds with LSU. Pretty nuts. It's going to be a night game. Oxford police are ready. They're bracing for impact for this as well. So LSU versus Tennessee in November. That's going to be must-watch television. The big what-ifs. This was a pretty good article that came out on ESPN today. And Texas, which is plus 750 to win the SEC this year and also for the Natty. But their what-ifs for Texas. If Arch Manning can learn this one neat trick. They write, it appeared the former Golden Boy recruit had figured things out late last season, ranking first nationally in total QBR after Halloween. But Manning's inability to throw on the run was still a major hindrance. He was 82nd in completion percentage outside the pocket, and he was 94th in completion rate on the move. It's a confusing weakness for someone so athletic, but neither he nor Texas will reach their ceiling until he improves in this regard. So who was it that had the deep ball for Arch? And Brian, I know you were saying, like, I don't know about that. I think you're right. Like, sometimes the deep ball looks beautiful.
Yeah.
There's other times where he'll just totally overshoot.
There were some times where it looked like where some intermediate accuracy problems, you know. And I know it, like the Ohio State game, you kind of throw that one out. But there were some games where he played really, really well playing with his feet. Like the Oklahoma game, mm-hmm. They came back. They were dead at Kentucky. They were dead at Mississippi State.
Michigan, the bowl game, I thought was probably his best performance.
And he really, and it gave you some hope when you watched that Michigan bowl game. You're absolutely right about that. So, I mean, I know there's some people that kind of, when you, and I felt like I watched every single Texas game and every throw just because I was looking to see, you know, seeing if I could see Bennett.
Yeah.
But so you're watching the game. But I think there's things that, you know, there's some mechanics that they're going to have to work out. But his uncles never had great mechanics either, you know, and his grandfather never was a really mechanical guy. And I'm not saying for him to be robotic, but there are some throws and stuff where his feet look out of whack, arm angle looks out of whack, body placement looks out of whack. You know, I think those are things that all could be worked on. But
absolutely.
It might be just who he is as a Manning. His uncles never were mechanically great looking quarterbacks in this league. They were very productive, mm-hmm. just not as accurate or as mechanical as you'd like to say, or mechanics being really good.
The other if, Will Muschamp, can he still craft an elite defense? They had four straight top 25 defenses at Texas and then fired their defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Now Muschamp's coming in. He was a Georgia assistant. Does he have more defensive knowledge in a single toenail than most have in our entire bodies? Yes, right, ESPN. But it's been 12 years since he actually oversaw a defense as the defensive coordinator. So, oof, has the game passed him by, or is he still able to tap into that? Those are the ifs for Texas this year. We can get into some more of these. I know we'll have College Football Darty a little bit later. Texas Tech's listed on here. A&M. We'll go ahead and save that for later on in the mixed bag.
I am buying Muschamp, though. I mean, he's been hanging out with Kirby Smart.
It's true.
For a while.
Yeah.
I do think that Texas defense will be strong.
Last thing here in the mixed bag as we put a bow on the World Cup. We got the way too early 2030 World Cup rankings.
Woo!
Spain, the clear number one.
Because they're a young player.
Yeah, they got Lamine Yamal, and they got a couple other stars.
Well, the 19-year-old defender actually won young player of the tournament.
Yeah. Is it Pau Cubarsí?
Yeah, Pau.
Okay, yeah. He's only going to be 23 in 2030. So both of them are, him and Yamal. So, yeah, they got two studs that are still going to be in their prime, and they've got potential to dominate, they said, for years. So not only 2030, but when they circle back for 2034, but they're going to be 23. Yeah, they're going to be like under 30 here for the next two or three World Cups.
What's the highest African nation?
Yeah,
that list.
Morocco's eight. Five.
Morocco's five.
Yeah, nice. Morocco's
and that's,
five.
That's a tough squad.
Yeah, I mean, Morocco moved up. They were six coming into it. The Netherlands has moved up 13 spots. They're at six overall.
Ooh.
And these rankings, they are weighted heavily for the results of the most recent tournament.
Okay, yeah, because, all the teams, other than Germany.
You said Netherlands moved up, and that was, I think, a disappointment for them.
Yeah, but I guess they've got some young core that's going to be pretty good. So it's Spain, France, England, Germany at four, and then Morocco are your top five. Norway is at seven on here. They were one of the stories of the World Cup. Argentina's all the way down to 10. They came in at 2. They're down to 10.
I think Norway should have beat England there in those quarters or whatever that was.
United States at 13.
I think England should have beat Argentina.
Yeah, they probably should have.
I mean, England versus Spain might have been a better game. Might have been more entertaining.
I don't know. I think they broke everybody down. I think they're going to go win the European Championship here in a couple of years, and they're going to be back for the World Cup and just put on a show.
Start to rout everybody.
I think out of all these countries that are better than the U.S., Spain's the one we need to copy. You know, and interesting thing from U.S. Soccer Federation. I don't know if you saw this, guys, over the weekend, but their leader came out and said, we're not interested in making the current U.S. soccer developmental system more affordable for everybody. We're interested in totally rebuilding it.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off, but, you know, just an update on that story that was quite prevalent in the days after the U.S. was eliminated. Thank you, Wolchuk. Mixed bag in the books. We got the Rangers player show, and Evan Carter, he's been on fire this month, was big in Saturday's win over the Braves, and Full Count joins us next year on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, time for the Rangers player show here on your home of the Rangers. Pregame at 6:30 tonight. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. The Rangers player show brought to you by Golden Chick and by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. And here he is, Rangers outfielder, nearly a 900 OPS in the month of July, 2-for-4 with a walk, a home run, and two ribbies in Saturday's win over Atlanta. World Series champion, of course, and he joins us now on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Evan. How the heck are you?
Hey, good. How are you all? Thanks for having me.
It's going well, you know. Obviously, feel a little bit better coming off a win ourselves, but that's just the fan in us. What's been clicking for you in the batter's box? What's going into this?
Yeah, just you know, trying to get some good work in the cage every single day. You know, got a good group of you know, players around me and staff as well. Kind of, you know, talking with Brandon Nimmo a lot and Justin Vuey and. Just, you know, trying to find some things in my swing that we thought we could get dialed in and some mechanical stuff and approach things. And I, you know, obviously, you know, things only work for so long, it seems like, in baseball. But right now, yeah, we got some got a good thing going. So just trying to ride that out as long as possible.
What's maybe some adjustments you were looking at that folks in the media or fans wouldn't pick up on as we watch on TV or at the stadium?
Yeah, just not to get too mechanical with some things, but, you know, just my rhythm and my load and my back elbow was a little bit out of sync. Trying not to get too complicated with it, but it, just trying to sync that back up and, you know, you're just looking at some spots in your career where you've had success and kind of look and see what you were doing there and, you know, and try and replicate that and find the feels again. You know, it's funny that, you know, some days you show up and it's just kind of forget where to put your hand. Some days it seems like just trying to find the fields and get back to where we were before.
Well, defensively, you've still absolutely been outstanding. What's been some of the things for you? I mean, when you came up, you were making some unbelievable plays, but what's the key to your defensive success? And have you changed or evolved anything in your time with the big leagues?
Yeah, you know, I think that always dialing in, you know, a pre-pitch routine and putting yourself in the best position that you can to react as quickly as possible. You know, working with Janko as the outfield coach this year, obviously he was a very successful outfielder in his time in the big leagues. And, you know, we've really put an emphasis on kind of our first step reaction times. And then I guess more so that rather than being more accurate, I guess you could say, with where my first step is going. So I think the biggest thing for me is just trying to stay locked in every pitch. You know, that one pitch you take off could be the one that gets hit to you and then you get a bad jump. So just trying to stay locked in all the time.
Evan, did you get sick of us talking about you and facing left-handed pitching?
No, never.
I mean, it has to be something that it's just constantly, you come to the ballpark, you know, you go to your locker, you sit down, and somebody's always asking you about it, or we're talking about it. Is it something that does wear on a player? And I know you're supposed to have tough, thick skin and all that, but is it something that we just made way, way too big of a deal of?
I mean, at the end of the day, I can't really – I'm not going to sit here and point fingers at anybody. And at the end of the day, it's my career. It's up to me to go out every single day and perform. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, you hear something so many times and it can definitely creep into your head a little bit. And, you know, whether or not you believe it, it's still there and it's still around you all the time. So just trying to you know, whether it's, you know, all of a sudden now you're trying to go up there and prove something every at bat and that doesn't really work in baseball or whatever it may be. So just trying to, you're just trying to stay within yourself at all times, I guess.
What gets your juices flowing a little bit more, robbing the homer or hitting the homer?
I would definitely say robbing a homer just because it happens way less, I would think. I've only had one in the big league, so I've got to say that.
How about the just your overall routine when it comes to the recovery, taking care of the body? How has that changed from year one to where you're at now? You've done a great job staying healthy this year.
Yeah, just, you know, I've been really happy with the routine that we've had this year. I would say a huge credit to, you know, the training staff and then the weight room staff, you know, Logan and Wade in our weight room. Just I've had some really good role models too, but just having something that I do every single day and we've kind of got dialed in what makes my body feel good, but you know, it's easy to go in there and skip that and it's monotonous and it's the same thing every single day, but you know, keep me honest and doing those routines every single day and you know, whether it's the hot and cold tub or the different movement exercises, put my body in a certain spot and just you know, staying on top of that and being consistent with it if I feel good or not. So it's been great.
Keep it up. You could be throwing around weight like Wyatt Langford, huh?
Yeah. If I gain another maybe 40 pounds, I could
maybe. Evan Carter here with you on The Fan. Who's one teammate you would trust to take over as manager in a pinch?
I would say I think an easy answer is a catcher, but I'll just go. I think Nate Eovaldi is probably my go-to pick for that. I think he knows the game really well, communicates really well, and he's a good leader. I think he's a great dude.
So we've got on Sunday, part of Rangers theme nights, we're hosting a Harry Potter, Evan Carter-themed bobblehead. Now, I'm a big Harry Potter fan myself. Were you part of this behind the scenes?
So I didn't know that was going to happen. I'm not upset that it did happen. I think it's pretty cool. You know, my mom's a huge fan of that too. And, you know, with all the books, she's actually was one of the librarians at our school growing up and media people. So, kind of always in there doing that, but yeah, it's going to be really cool. I'm excited for it.
Damn. You must have had so much pressure on you to just read so many books throughout the summers.
Yeah. Yeah. I did read a lot, but I don't regret that. It was good.
Do you have a favorite book?
So I guess other than the Harry Potter stuff, when I was growing up and little, I really enjoyed like the Percy Jackson stuff and all the Greek mythology and Roman mythology and all that stuff.
All right. So are you pumped to possibly go see the Odyssey if you ever get an off day?
You know, I need to go see it and I've been told that I have to go see it in IMAX. So we'll, try and find an IMAX theater, I guess.
What'd you do during the All-Star break?
We stayed here, you know, spent some time at the house, just kind of relaxed a little bit, got blessed with some cooler weather, so it wasn't 100 the whole All-Star break, so that was really nice. It was good.
Do you think he would have been a good Quidditch player in the Harry Potter world?
I don't know if I would be very good at balancing on a broom like that. Who knows? Maybe I would be.
Seemed like a lot would go into that. Now, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the things that you do incredibly well, Evan, because it's always fun for us to take stock in those things. Your routes in the outfield have always seemed so natural, or I mean, is that instincts once that ball is in the air and you've done all the work like Zach was talking about with you to be ready? And now how do you know where that ball is going to end up?
Yeah, so that's actually kind of funny. That's something that I've had to do a little bit better with, of almost like detraining my mind for that, because it's funny, I used to get worse reaction times, but like my direct route to where the ball was going to land was better. But now I get quicker reaction times and kind of maybe take a banana route instead of a straight line. And it's actually a lot quicker. So I, you know, it's one of those things. I feel like it's kind of I don't know, I played football growing up and all that. Like, you just know where the ball is going to land. Or if you're throwing it, you know where to throw it to hit somebody where they're going to be. Like, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's just kind of a natural instinct.
Okay. And then how about your eye at the plate? How do you lay off these pitches that are just barely outside the zone? And it's a great time to be watching on television with how close these balls are. It really gives an appreciation. Like, how often do you know that's like a half inch outside, and how often are you just guessing that it probably is?
Yeah. So I think I know the zone really well. Sometimes it gets me in trouble because I think I know it too well. And, you know, my challenges of this year have not been good. but it's, yeah, I mean, obviously chasing and stuff is one of those things that I just try and tell myself I'm going to swing in a good pitch to hit. And, you know, if I don't think a pitch is good to hit, then a lot of times, you know, it's either a ball or it's a borderline strike and it's a pitcher's pitch. So I just try and keep it simple.
Right on, man. Well, thanks for joining us here on The Fan, and give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Salute. There he goes. Evan Carter, brought to you by Golden Chick and brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. All right. Feels like Evan Carter is getting more comfortable. Would you say that?
Yeah.
Like in 2023, he was like trying to pull words out of a guy. You know?
Oh, yes.
And he was one of those guys where, you know, it was like, okay, get ready for that kind of interview that we have. And, you know, I would say from the time we interviewed him in December, maybe at the Rangers toy drive, to now, it just feels like he's become a lot more comfortable as a big leaguer. And maybe that comes with health.
Sure.
You know, I think a lot of people make a big deal about his batting average, which is still under 200. But he's got a positive B war because of how good his defense is and his base running and his, you know, eye at the plate, his ability to still get on base, even though he's not crushing. And like 190 isn't that far away from an acceptable batting average. It's just crazy how much that particular stat has changed because, you know, growing up watching the game, there's no way they'd let you stay in the big leagues for longer than a month.
Right.
You know, with that kind of a deal. But there's just analytics have revealed so many more positive ways you can impact the game. And, you know, that's why Evan Carter has been one of the positive stories this year for your Rangers, who are now 50-50 after last night's defeat. They're going to take on the White Sox tonight. Kamar Rocker on the Hill, 6:30 pregame. We do have Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we're getting close to training camp. As always, I've got some comparisons and some questions I want to get through with my guys. We'll do this.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Bud, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the king, Brian.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. I appreciate you playing that. As mentioned, counting down the days to training camp. I will be leaving the show on Sunday to head to Oxnard, but then we'll be on with the guys starting Monday. And then excited to have them join me the following week, whereas Wolchuk has told us that padded practices start. So looking forward to 3 live mics. I know we got a lot of folks.
So would you say that second week is the best week of camp you could attend?
Joint practice week.
If it was me, I would have loved to have been able to go to the Rams facility and watch them work against the Rams, and then I'd love to be able to come back and do the practice against the Saints.
And that's in week 3?
Yeah. It's a Thursday. Or is it a Tuesday and a Tuesday, I think is what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's a Tuesday and a Tuesday. So
week 3 and week 4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, is what it is.
Right before they come back.
Right before they come back. So I love the joint practices like that, and because that's where I think the coaches get the most out of it, putting the starters out there. They can control the tempo of the practice, and you got the two fields with like the one defense versus the one offense of the other team, and so you could kind of go back and forth and watch. I'm hopeful that DallasCowboys.com will broadcast like they do. Sometimes they have a thing that we used to create, the a training camp live situation. I'm hopeful that they
that was great content,
can maybe can maybe do some stuff like that. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm hopeful the Rams don't embarrass them in joint practice again. And hopefully,
man, you can learn a lot.
Tell last year,
you can learn a lot watching those practices. And the Rams will probably come after you pretty good. But you know, hopefully, you can hold things together. But looking forward to being out there. I know we got a good group of sponsors that are helping us and stuff like that.
Oh, so yeah.
Really, really appreciate
salute
that.
To you guys.
We'll get to those guys too as we get going. All right. I want to ask you guys something. I want to go through this roster, and I'm always interested in these things because I'm always thinking about the roster. And I want to ask you, in the, not of so much of who is going to be a starter in this roster, but I'm going to ask you the question this way, and I'm going to say it. Wolchick, and I'll start with you. This wide receiver needs to win the fourth spot. Give me the wide receiver that going into, because you have the starters. You have your starters already, and then I include Flannoy as the third guy. Who's the guy in your mind that needs to win the fourth wide receiver spot?
I think that it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think that they would like a veteran receiver in case of injury. I think he's a player that has had success. He's a downfield type of receiver that can stretch the defense and has some speed and versatility to his game. I think that's who they would like because I'm not a Jonathan Mingo believer.
Yeah.
And Kevontae Turpin, I'm not going to factor in here because I think he needs to focus on special teams.
I agree with you on that.
I don't think they're bringing in a Marquez Valdez-Scantling if they're not looking at their depth chart and saying that's who ideally we'd like to be wide receiver for.
So you think it's Scantling that they want, but how about you? You want to see, who do you want to see win that fourth spot?
I personally would like the rookie, Anthony Smith, to step up and have himself a good camp, or Trayshon Holden, the carryover from last year, who had a really good training camp. There were a lot of Cowboy fans who were like, oh my gosh, he's got to be on the roster. Yeah. Oh no, he's not going to be able to get on the practice squad. And a lot of times when we're having those conversations, like, oh, there's no way this guy's going to make it on the practice squad, they do. I mean, they even did cut Ryan Flannoy last year. They were able to scoop him back on the roster. So Trayshon Holden, like, I would love for one of these young guys, Jordan Hudson's a player that I like a lot from SMU, that they brought in. But give me Holden or give me the rookie Anthony Smith to really step up and be like, you know what, guys? I'm that dude, and I can
pick
be your
me one.
Receiver
then
four.
Pick me one.
I'll go with Trayshon Holden.
Okay, I like it. Chieftain, how about you? I really need this guy to be the fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for it to be Anthony Smith. I know it's a lot to ask from a late rookie situation, but I mean, the athletic scores are pretty dang impressive. He's got the size and the speed, like that type of combination right there. Mm-hmm. If he can show that he can actually be wide receiver four, I think that would go a long way for you. My other guy would actually be Jonathan Mingo. Not betting on it at all, but I love the idea of having a guy who blocks the way he does. And if he could be a pass-catching threat, I just think him on the field would pay dividends for you, because if he can actually show that he can be a threat as a receiver, I love what he brings from a blocking standpoint, and that can elevate a lot of your offense. That's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
And even Anthony Smith is probably wishful thinking, but he would be the guy. Young, cheap, 6'2", 4'4" speed. That would be fantastic.
Do you feel like you got 1 foot in the parking lot on Anthony Mingo or on Jonathan Mingo?
For sure. Yeah, I'm not betting on him in any way, but I do like the blocking skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, if he could just be a threat as a wide receiver.
Dawson, I need this guy to be the fourth wide receiver.
I mean, what happened with Denzel Mims? He's on the roster, right?
Right.
I see him down here fourth in the depth chart, so he's probably totally washed up. But I'm thinking, who are physical blockers that have more upside as an actual touchdown threat? And, you know, just talent-wise, maybe Denzel Mims, but I think that's probably a long shot considering what's happened with his career. So I'm going to actually – I was going to say what Chief was saying there is a Jonathan Mingo.
Jonathan Mingo.
I need this to be the year where Mingo shows up and has the ability to secure the catch.
Gotcha. Chief, I'm coming to you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I need this offensive tackle to win the third spot.
Need this, kind of your swing tackle guy?
I need this offensive tackle to win in your eyes. You could say Cowboys' eyes, but I want to know your eyes.
I mean, I think Nate Thomas taking taken a step, like having the experience under his belt now, and if he can show some decent improvement, then you feel like, okay, you're not just throwing a rookie into the deep end of the pool if Guyton or Steele get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nate Thomas, building on what he had last year, which was serviceable, can he become that much more competent? I would love to see that, and that would, I think, show the development that you have with Connor Riley as your offensive line coach coming from the college ranks. He was in year one with the Cowboys last year. I think that would go a long way in showing, like, okay, he can actually develop players and take a Nate Thomas okay to decent.
Yeah. Dawson, I need this guy to win the third spot. Tackle.
The third tackle spot. Okay. Yeah. I mean, for my personal entertainment preferences, Shiaz Pete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guy who gives the best interviews in the building.
Yep.
But Drew Shelton, you know, I think Drew Shelton's the guy we haven't seen.
Right.
So to me, he's got a chance to show up and be significantly better than maybe he was projected at. With Nate Thomas, I feel he's been in the building for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Chief, he can be sufficient. Is there a big jump with that body? He seems more like a guard to me.
Yeah, I know that Wolchuk, we're going to get to you, and you're going to tell me he's probably going to need to play guard. But when you mentioned Drew Shelton, that was the one I was kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I need Drew Shelton not to be I don't need him to be Ball and the Let's Go and Awesome Richards and that. I need him to be better than those guys. I need him to be that.
Not just a wasted pick.
Yeah, not a fourth round pick where we're all going, we're watching practice and three live mics and we're like going, oh, that was a bad rep there, you know, and it's, yeah. I don't need that. I don't need it. Wooly, what do you got on that? I need a third tackle from you.
I'm with you on Drew Shelton, man. You just took a fourth round pick. They clearly liked him. Yeah. And you and I, we talked about it after the draft. Like, there were other players on the board that I personally probably would have gone over.
I agree.
Drew Shelton. So I'm hoping I am very wrong on Drew Shelton and they hit on him and he's awesome and he takes that job, because I think they need that. They need to find a way to start hitting on these mid-round linemen and prove that they can actually give them something, because they have not been very good at it.
I totally agree with you on that, brother. Dawson,
yeah.
I need this defensive tackle to win the third spot. I need this defensive tackle to win the third spot.
I think it's Abonya, because Toya and Bullard, I'm not forgetting anybody, right? Yeah. That would be the third spot, right, with Clark and Quinnen.
Yeah.
So Otito Abonya, who was part of a really good Chargers defense,
mm-hmm.
and they have done a tremendous job in L.A. I forget the GM's name here off the top of my head, but he has done a hell of a job at finding guys that can contribute that aren't household names. And Abonya is just the latest. There's Tyre Tart. There's a number of guys along that L.A. front. So picking off of that defense, I think, is a good move for
Dawson. Would like Abonya to be the guy behind Kenny Clark and Quinny Williams. Let's go with you, Wolchuk. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm with you on Abonya. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to have to make a big, big impact here. But I'll go with Jonathan Bullard.
Okay.
Because of the power, the run-stopping ability, and I think he also has a little bit of flex on moving up and down along the defensive line. Jonathan Bullard's a guy that I feel like they've got a plan for him along this defense. So, and as far as defensive tackle, Bullard, step up, earn that spot.
How about you, Chieftain? I need this defensive tackle to be the third guy.
I think both the guys that are mentioned already, Bullard and Abonya, are clearly better, and I would expect them to make a bigger impact. But why wouldn't you want Jay Toia, a draft pick, to actually be good?
Sure.
I would love to see him be a guy that is a heck of a lot better than what he was in year one, and watch him do that haka all over some
offensive line. Do that dance y'all do.
Do that hockey you do.
Joe Ortiz, the GM there with the Chargers.
Yeah, doing a good job.
Doing a really good job there. All right, last one, Wooly. I need this linebacker to win the third spot.
Okay, it's got to be the rookie Jayshon Barham.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we'll get to him and talk about him a little bit more, but he's got to step up. I mean, that's a player that I thought could have gone higher in the draft. To be able to get him in the third, I thought was really, really good value. He's got a lot of versatility, can give you some edge, but that's a dude that has the size, the physicality, a Havoc-like player when you watch him play at Michigan. I think that he really can be a fun chess piece, and he does fit a lot of the attributes that Zach Bond had in this scheme with the Eagles. So Jayshon Barham is the guy that has to win that spot.
Chieftain, this linebacker has to win the third spot.
There's no question. Copy and paste everything Walchuk just said. Like what he does from a versatility standpoint, being able to play off ball and then adjust the front, and he can come down to the line of scrimmage. The violence that he plays with and the size factor that you mentioned there, Walchuk. Like that's a guy that I'm crossing my fingers he can be a dude.
Dawson, I need this third line. I need this linebacker to win the third spot.
I'll go with Curtis Robinson, the other 49er that came over. I think he's been in the league for 5 years. Maybe he can be smart, give you some sub-package value.
Yeah, he was getting some looks during the OTA minicamp practices as that guy opposite. It's interesting nobody mentioned Shamar James.
Yeah.
Nobody. Have you guys seen enough of Shamar James? Is that what we're doing right there?
I sort of have.
I think James is a solid player, but I think he's a backup player.
Gotcha.
It's going to be really interesting with him, man, because you're asking him to do a totally different thing. Maybe the over-pursuit is sort of negated by a schematic change.
That's
a good point.
The one advantage he has over Barham is just experience.
Right. And he led your team in tackles last year.
I think there's going to be a battle for that middle linebacker spot. I really do.
Can't wait.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Two down, two and a half to go. It's football fix time, Walchuk.
All right, let's do it. Is this the Cowboys rookie to watch at camp, family reunions, and give me your most overrated, underrated quarterbacks right now? That's next in the Nation.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.